I know that several times that when I've spoken, this scripture has been, I've spoke on it, but I saw something different, at least for me, in this scripture just this morning as I was planning on kind of speaking about it during an altar call, perhaps. You know how, I don't know if you speak, I mean, I struggle with transitioning into an altar call. I mean, I just kind of teach and then, okay. But in my mind, I was like, I'm going to try to end with this. But man, I got to rereading scripture that y'all have heard me share many times in Ezekiel. And I just start, I mean, maybe it was just for me this morning. I don't know, but I saw some things in that script, in the Valley of Dry Bones scripture, that I don't think I've seen before. It was just, and I was like, the more I read it and the more I made mental notes and stuff, it was like, man, I can't just close with this. I'm going to share some of this. But in Matthew 8, again, let me back up just 1 minute, then I'll dive in and try to get through this. Several weeks ago, James spoke and did an incredible job. And again, if he pulls his notes out, what I still am gleaning from that sermon, however many weeks ago, on the different kinds of storms. Remember that one? And what I remember 5 weeks later might not have been any of your notes, and you might not have even said it. But that's how the Word of God works. I mean, it's not me up here reading ink on paper. It's this living Word of God. It's Spirit. God speaks to us Spirit to Spirit. Sometimes it's as clear or more clear than verbal, but most of the time it's Spirit to Spirit. Amen. But I've been chewing on James's sermon for a month or more. I don't know how long that was. And I just started making notes about what the Lord was speaking to me 5 weeks later out of that sermon. And just that in itself, that's not lifting James up that was a powerful sermon, because God wants to do that every time somebody speaks from here. And it speaks to me, and then I go do what? I go chew on it. The Bible calls it meditating. But it's a lost art in the modern church, amen? You can get a lot from a sermon if you just go meditate on it. Go think about it. Make notes in the sermon and go back and... But he was talking about different kinds of storms. And in Matthew, before I get to the storm, actually, I was... Let me turn to it here. I told you to turn, and I didn't turn myself. I'm gonna grab my phone in a second. I think I might need it in a minute. Thank you, Beth. But in Matthew 8, I was wanting to back up this morning, and because I know we've got people in here, and I pray that everybody in here, but me maybe, is in a season where on seemingly every area of your life, God's moving, and you see God's activity. Maybe there's breakthrough here, but God's moving there. There's hope here. Your faith is strong here. Because I've been in seasons kind of like that. But maybe somebody in here is going through some storms. Maybe somebody in here personally, your family, Noah, you may be going real good with the Lord right now. But you got two guys that were on your heart this morning enough to call me out in the parking lot. So maybe if everything's going on in your life really, really good, there's still some areas where there's some burdens, some things that you need prayer and you need to see God move and breakthrough. Amen? That should be everybody in here. But I was going back and I was still thinking about James's sermon about how, you know, sometimes, you know, Jesus is in the boat with you, and even though he's in the boat, the storms hit and you still get worried, you still get anxious, you still... You know, we're children. We're children of God, and we act like children. And he has to wake up and rebuke and speak to the storm. And that's my prayer. Anybody and everybody, including me, that is going through something and needs breakthrough in an area, that's my prayer. Is it not all of our prayer? That God, even though we may have to shake him and wake him, and are you really here, God? He wakes up and says... In the Bible, he says, oh, ye of little faith. And then he does his business. He rebukes. He doesn't just say, peace be still. He rebukes the wind and the waves. He rebukes that thing that's scaring you. And that's what I like it when he does that. oh, Brett, why are you still doubting me? Have I not done enough? But okay, boom. Hey, we all want that. Beth Moore says that, you know, we all want to be delivered from the fire. But sometimes God says, okay, I love you and I don't love you any less and you're not in trouble, but this time I'm going to deliver you through the fire. We don't sign up for that. That makes us dig a little deeper in our faith and go to the Lord, but our faith gets stronger and then he walks us through the storm instead of speaking and making it be still. Does that make sense? Again, I'm not declaring that over anybody. Right now, Scott, I'm not declaring that, you know, God's going to do that. I pray he speaks to the storm and he makes peace come. Amen? And God, you know, and obviously, Beth Moore says that sometimes we don't like it, but sometimes he delivers by the fire. You know, sometimes in the real world, you know, my dad wasn't healed of cancer, but he took his last breath on Poseyville Church Road one day, and the very next breath, he was in the presence of the Lord. Now, in my carnal state, I didn't like that, but he was delivered by the fire, and we miss him every day, but God's still good, and if we stay connected to God through the not understanding that, because there was a season where I didn't understand that, James. I never shook my fist at the Lord, but I definitely had some David in the Psalms moments of what's up with this. I prayed with the first time that happened. Y'all remember years ago I came in here, it was a little kid named Austin Baker. He was on a prayer thing. From an accountant at work. I never met but it was the first time that I'd ever felt so connected to somebody that I didn't even know, that I felt like I knew them. I invested that much in prayer for that little boy. And when he passed, it was really the first time that I was like, I was deflated. And I had to go to the Lord with it, because I was in a vulnerable, I was like Elijah. Now, you may have called fire down from heaven last week and stood before the king the week before and said, it's not going to rain till I say so. But at the end of the Mount Carmel experience, he was tired and he was empty, and the queen threatened him. And in his emptiness, he ran for his life and requested to die. I was like, what is up with this? Anybody ever been there? When you fully believe and you, it was like we sometimes we're too hard on the disciples because we can't fathom giving what they gave and having it die. We usually play it much safer than them. I heard Beth one time say that, you know, we treat like the level of faith that they walked in as like the ultimate. That's what they started with. That was the best. That was, they left everything at the beginning and then gave everything for 3.5 years, and then bam, it was gone. We can't fathom what that's like, but maybe somebody's experiencing that right now. The storm has lasted so long. It's become part of you. Part of your emotional DNA is worry and fret and anxiety over a storm that's just been there. Anybody? Anybody? And you're like, God, why can't you speak peace to this? But when I was backing up to read scripture this morning to kind of work toward Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and I just, for I don't know why, it doesn't fit really, and this might be all we get in today, this and Ezekiel. But I went back and just kind of, in Matthew 8, 23 starts the storm scripture. But if you back up, and you don't have to turn there, it talks about there was a man. When they had come down the mountain, great multitudes followed Jesus, and behold, there came a leper. Is anybody in here got an issue that needs to be dealt with today? Anybody? In your life, in your family's life, in somebody you love's life? Anybody a leper today? And it says there was a leper, and he came and worshiped the Lord, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Well, I'm here to tell you, whether it's in my notes or not, if you've got an issue, we serve a God that's willing to move on that issue. And I can say that with full confidence. How he'll move in any issue you've got, ma'am, I don't know. When he'll move in that issue, I don't know, Gary. But we serve a God that you can come before him. They may not let you in the church because of your leprosy, but you can come to the living God and say, I got an issue, Lord. Are you willing to help me? And he says, yes, I'm willing to meet you there, Noah. That's the kind of God we serve. God forgive us if we leave without coming to that God and giving an I can't remember where the scripture is, but there's another instance where there's a leper. And the religious crowd's watching Jesus to see if he's going to heal that dude. And Jesus says something, and it's not a revelation I got, but I think I heard Damon say it. What does Jesus say to that man with the leprosy? He's got it, he's got it hidden in his cloak because he's embarrassed. Anybody ever brought anything in here that you're embarrassed of? I can't believe I'm where I'm at, and I can't let anybody know. It's humiliating. What did Jesus say? He said, extend forth your hand. He didn't tell him which hand to stick forth. If that man had an opportunity to extend forth the good hand and keep the one that needed Jesus' touch hidden. And how often do we do that? We come in here to a God that's willing to touch the dirtiest part of who we are, no matter what it is. But we only bring forth or let the light shine or whatever you want to say, the stuff that's not embarrassing. And what do? I've left this place with leprosy on a hand. God was wanting me to, he was wanting to touch it, Keith. But I let your opinion of me keep me, I left with leprosy because I was afraid of what you might think. Have we not all done that? And I just want that to die. And that God's goodness is so strong, not an emotional high. We don't need any more of those. But that we fall back in love. We reconnect with the goodness of a Father in heaven. And that overrides every inhibition that we bring in here. I want to believe, Todd, that's God's heart. I'm not doing a shell game up here trying to get God to move. He's a good Father. I would want my children to not leave anything off the table. Bring me the mess where I can help. Amen? And how much better is he than I am? Amen? So if you've got any leprosy in any form, don't extend the good stuff. Let God touch it. He wants to. He wants to. He's willing. The next little thing is the Roman centurion. He had the sick servant at home. Jesus agrees to come to his house. He says, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word. Just speak the word and it'll be done. I'm a man of authority and I understand authority. You just speak the word and that's good enough. And Jesus made that famous comment, I've not seen this type of faith in all of Israel. And this was a Roman soldier. And he says, your faith, be it done according to your faith. Done. And it says his servant was healed at that. And all Jesus did was speak a word. And it reminded me of 2 weeks ago, Sid Garner down here at the morning service, he made a comment he was talking about Holy Week. And he was talking about how God, we serve a God that can change the not fortunes as in money, but in a week, God can change lives. He can change the course of lives. And he doesn't need 15 years all the time. God is so powerful and so good. He can just speak or move. And in a week, everything can change. Does anybody believe that? Now, I'm not saying it always happens that way. But that is the kind of God we serve. And I can honestly say that if you seek him, the Bible says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. That's God's promise. But much like the offering we just sang about and heard James share about, how often do we seek him not with all of our heart? And we're mad at him because we didn't find him. He's wanting to be found. He's not hiding. What did Jesus say? Ask, seek me, knock on doors. And because I want you to open them, because I want to surprise you with how good I am. It reminds me of the guy that was over at the place in Atlanta close to the Centennial Olympic Park. What's that? The Tabernacle. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was speaking, and he said, God, he said, whoever it was had young children, 2 to 3, 4, maybe, I can't remember the ages, old enough to play hide and go seek. And he was like, as a good dad, and I'm playing hide and go seek with my kids, he said, what kind of dad would I be if I went and got a ghillie suit and laid in the shrubs in the edge of the yard where there was no heavenly possible way for a 4-year-old to find me? He said, that would be mean-spirited. And some people's vision of God is that. He's just too far. I've done too much, or he's too holy. You know, I've misinterpreted the scripture about be ye holy, for I can't get him. I can't find him. I tried 2 or 3 times. I didn't find him. I can't find him. How many of you, that's not God's character. Just like it's not any good dad in here's character. But at the same time, the point the guy made was, but if I hid, like if I was playing hide and go seek with Trevor when he was 4 years old in this sanctuary, and I hid right here, every time we played, or I hid right here 3 times, then I hid behind this mic stand once, and then I put this basket on my head once, he would get bored with that. Does that make sense? So what am I trying to say? What was this guy trying to say? God wants us to seek him, and he wants to be found. But he may make you look a little bit. Why? So that when you find him, if I do it the right way, and one time I'm behind that, and one time I might be down in the, I'm findable, but he's got to expend a little energy and think a little bit. When he finds me, what does their face lights up? Whoa! And they want to do it again. And God's a better God than I am. He wants you to find him, James, but you might have to look a little bit. He's not a cosmic ATM, but he wants to be found. And when we seek him with our whole heart, he is found. And it changes everything. I don't know how circumstances may change. I don't know how quickly he'll move. He may wake up and say something and then rebuke the storm. He may hold your hand through the storm. I don't know. But I can promise you, when we seek God with our whole heart, we will find him. Because not because I said it or Sid Garner said it, because it's what his word says. Seek me with your whole heart and you will find me. End of story. Amen? So again, that was background for the storm that he spoke peace to. I won't go there. But then I also, as James mentioned, and I'm going to try to get to Ezekiel quickly. You know, there are storms. That storm, they were with Jesus and they were doing the will of Jesus, and a storm hit. You're not immune to storms when you're in the will of God. Not in the world we live in. You're just not. But at the same time, sometimes storms hit us because we've done something stupid. It's not because I'm in the perfect will of God. It's because I'm in the carnal decisions of Brett. Anybody been there? Guess what? The same God has the same character and the same desire to help me in that storm as well. And that's where I think a lot of people fall. They have that. They buy the lie of the enemy that I've done too much. I've done too much wrong. With the Lord, I never quit on the Lord. But as far as preaching his word and being passionate again and kind of going no holes, no safety, no all, just barreling forward and seeing what God does, I thought I had put it in neutral too long. And in today's world, I concur 100% with Beth Moore. When you throw it in neutral in today's world and then you re-engage later, you're not where you were. the current's going too fast. Now, my God's love never stopped, dropped one ounce for me. But then I, even when I began to refocus on him, I'm like, I can't go wide open like I used to. That's a lie. Lie of the devil. And I'm not, and there are some storms going on, and you know, whether it be, you know, I'm an emotional creature, and if I don't keep that aligned with God, it's real vulnerable to the enemy to come in. You know, I've battled depression. I've battled just, you know, whatever. You feel it. None of that disqualifies for what God wants to do. For me or you either. Amen? Nothing. If any of my children go through a season where they're not living up to their potential, do I write them off? No, I'm not mad. I'm grieved and I'm praying and I'm doing all that I can to spur them to meet that potential. And then when they reengage, I don't sit there, well, it's about time. I celebrate with them. Yes, we can reengage. Now you can go do what God called you to do with every bit of my help behind you. How much more is a Noah, you've not slipped. God's got a plan for you. He wants to use every scar you've got to help some other man. Amen? Whether it's at the shed, wherever. Amen? He does. I told him now, I told him the 30-second version of y'all's testimony. I said, y'all be praying. The mic may be in y'all's hand for a long. I won't scare you to death, but people need to hear it. Amen? What is the Bible says? You overcome the enemy by the blood of your lamb and the word of your testimony. We got to get excited and happy about what God's doing and start telling people again. And I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to me. Let me tell you what God did. Well, guess what? If you're not seeing God do anything, it's because you're not looking and asking and seeking and knocking, because He wants to. I invite you to Matt Young's house on Tuesday nights. A tool shed smells like diesel fuel, full of men who have messed up big time. Now, you might get Dave Pollard one Tuesday and incredible teaching, and you might get what's his name, it works for the city of Buchanan, show up from a ditch because he had to fix a leak on the day he was teaching. So he shows up straight from a hole in the straight from a mud hole in Buchanan. But it's real. So you're invited. But you're also, from the Lord, invited to get excited about Him. Just start seeking Him again. Confess today. Because there was a time where I was excited to go to Cargill and tell the Evelyns and the Shannon Norrises and about what Jesus had done. Let me tell you what He did. It got to the point where Shannon would come to my office if I didn't go to his. Tell me, fill me in. And it wasn't always something. Shannon came to one of the revival services after we had had one of those Sunday afternoon baptism services the Sunday before when all the carpet mildewed. And he made it about three songs of worship. And, you know, so it didn't always fit the Hollywood reel. And I had to go seek him out the next day at work and make sure he was okay. But it was, but you know, that's just part of it. But we serve a God that wants, if our walk is stale, it's not on God. It's not on God. And I've let it be stale for too long, Lisa. Spurts of good, and the bad may be less as I've drawn closer, but excitement, I've played it a little bit too safe to have excitement. There's a little bit of good here and there, but excited again? You got to drop some weights to get excited again, amen? Have a little childlike faith again. That's my prayer for this house. It's my prayer for my family. I want Trevor excited about the Lord. Well, guess what? That probably starts with him seeing Daddy excited about the Lord. You know? So in that way, a lot over the last 5 years, I've failed my son in certain ways. But guess what? With true repentance and getting God back involved, there's nothing God can't touch. There's nothing God can't heal. Because I have to believe that that's His character. Do you not think God wants to heal that? The devil wants me to think he won't. Amen. Ooh, I'm just rambling up here, ain't I? I tell you what I'm going to do. I had 2 Kings 3 and Jeremiah 32, but I'm not going to go there. Turn to Ezekiel 37, if you would. And I've preached out of this scripture quite often. What time we got? I got about 10 minutes, maybe. This is the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 37. But I'm going to touch on some things that I saw this morning, perhaps for the first time. If you want to read some awesome scripture, go to Jeremiah 32. And I'll tell you this. See this yellow, see this, I got my NIV Bible. This is the Bible my sister Robin gave me the day I got saved. Man, this thing's full of good treasures. This fell out of it. This is the birthday card my dad wrote me 2 weeks before he passed. And it was tucked in the back of it. This is the Bible Robin gave me the day I got saved. Because I had told her I wasn't coming after I told her all week I was. Anybody ever done that? And I felt the hurt in her voice for the first time. So I came, got saved, and she gave me the Bible that she had planned on already to give me. So I've still got it. But I was reading in Jeremiah 32, if you read that, the Babylonians are besieging Jerusalem because of the sin of Jerusalem. They weren't in the boat with Jesus because they were doing the God's will. They had rebelled against God, and the Babylonians were besieging it. Jeremiah was prophesying truth, and they put him in the courtyard in jail. They put him in shackles in the courtyard. He wasn't in prison, but he was in the courtyard, guarded by guards. And amazing, and it says Zedekiah had put him there because he prophesied bad news. No, he told the truth. You rebelled against God, and because of that, these bad things are happening. The king didn't like that and threw him in the courtyard, put guards around him. In the middle of that, God gives him this ridiculous request. Go by your cousin's field and go through every step and get it witnessed. And my mind would be, I've prophesied that we're fixing to become, Babylon's fixing to take over. Why are you having me by this field right before the Babylonians are going to come in and destroy everything anyway? Makes no sense. But he did it. And if you read the scripture, I think it's Jeremiah 32:9, he said something that I pray that if we don't do anything else, we leave this place today and this starts to build in us again. He says, I think he even said, if I go back and read it, he didn't question God, but he was like, this is a strange request, God. The Babylonians are besieging the city. They're already building the things to climb the walls. And you've asked me to do this. But I think verse 9 says, but I knew this was the Lord. How do you know that? Spending time with him. I knew it was the Lord. And even though in my humanity, I was like, well, this is a strange request. He did it. And I will read this. You don't have to turn there. You're saying, why? Why would God do that? Why would God ask you? Apply that to your life. You're in a storm that maybe you brought on yourself, and God gives you this ridiculous request, whatever. If you're not spending time with the Lord, if you've lost that, if you don't get anything else, get that back. Time in the Word. Quiet time with God. Amen? So that you can know when it's the Lord and when it's not. Because guess what? He wants you to know. Again, he's not trying to hide. He may give you something so... Your mountain is so big, but he gives you this one little thing that seems so insignificant. You're struggling through worship with all of the stress and everything on you and all these worries running in your mind. Anybody ever been there? Not really able to engage in worship because the reel's running in your head. Guess what? The conductor of that's not the Lord. It's the devil. And guess what? In the middle of a storm that's wearing you out, And you feel as empty as you've ever felt, as dry as you've ever felt. And something out of left field says, go pray with Keith. Huh? Why? That's not going to help my storm. Yeah, guess what? It might be the doorway that gets God in your storm. And yes, that can change. Because guess what? The Babylonians were fixing to take over Jerusalem. And they did. They did take the king prisoner. Just as God said it would happen. But then you flip over to verse 14. I don't know if you're there or not. It says, in their presence I gave Baruch these instructions. This is what the Lord Almighty of Israel says. Take these documents when he bought the field, both the sealed ones and the unsealed ones, the deed of purchase, and put them in a clay jar so that they will last a long time. Because this is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel. Houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land. The Lord's like, this is bad right now. And to the human eye, it's probably going to get worse in the short term. But your one small act of obedience is, you will be on this land again, and you'll be buying and selling stuff again. It's like when Jehoshaphat didn't seek God in 2 Kings 3. 8 days into the journey, 7 days in, they're out of water. And Jehoshaphat finally says, is there not a prophet around here? Guess what? The Lord didn't say you should have already come. They found Elisha. He made them dig ditches. Remember that scripture? In the middle of the desert, dying with no water, they took their weapons of war, their spears and their swords, and they dug ditches. It made no sense. So my prayer is, in the middle of our storms, we start seeking God again. And then when he speaks something that may seem totally ridiculous, just obey it and see what God might do. What did he tell them? Make this valley full of ditches, and by this time tomorrow it'll be full of water. Real quick, we'll close with Ezekiel. Y'all know the scripture, a lot of us. Talks about the Spirit of the Lord took Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones. They were not just dry, they were very dry. It says dry bones. Then they did an inspection. It's Ezekiel 37. And it says they weren't just dry, they were very dry. So it was actually worse than he thought. And then it goes in and it says, son of man, can these bones live? Y'all know this. Y'all heard this. Only you know, Lord. So and again, he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, listen to this. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So what does he promise first? Breath. I'm going to bring my breath into you, and you're going to live, and you're going to know that I am the Lord. So I'm here to tell, the Lord put this on my heart so strong this morning that this is God's will for somebody in here going through a storm. He wants to breathe on those dry bones. He does. He wants to get you through. He may have to walk you through the storm. I don't know if he's going to speak peace to it or walk you through it, but he wants you to know that when he breathes, when he engages, Gary, no matter how, he, on the other side of it, he wants you to know that he is the Lord. Amen? That's the heart of our Father. And it's by his breath, it's his spirit moving. But look right here, I've never seen this before. So I'm going to bring breath and you're going to live. Then I'll put sinews on you and flesh upon you. And then it gets to verse 7. So Ezekiel did what he was told. He prophesied. What does that mean? He spoke truth. He spoke the word of God to the problem. Have you stopped doing that? It's black and white. Number one, do you know any promises that you can speak to your problem? If you're not in the Word and you're not spending time with God, you might not. But guess what? You can ask my family. I am the world's worst on social media. But there's a little thing called the Bible app. And this is how good God is. A few weeks back, a month or so ago, I confessed. I quit doing this. I read this one time about a month. I said, I've quit speaking promises to my storms, to my dry bones, to my circumstances. So you're saying, I don't know enough scripture to do that. Well, free app. And I click this, and I'll go back a few days. Now, this is not scripture. It says, don't let your circumstances keep you from praying and praising God. That'll work. The other day, and this is what I did. I began to declare some of these things over my family, over the storms in my life. And have the mountains moved? I don't know. Not that I can tell. But my perspective is starting to change. That hopelessness, that heaviness, that lack of hope, it's starting to lift a little bit. Why? Because God's starting to breathe. I'm giving Him access to move in my problem. I came across this the other day, and I got tore up at work. I hope this doesn't start talking. This one, it's a familiar scripture, but it was the one from about 4 days ago. Joshua 1:9, and this is what I did. The scripture says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That came up that morning. I wrote it the next day on the note I left for Mary or Beth and Trevor. But that came up at work, and I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare this word. This is your promise. It was to Joshua, and I declared over myself, Beth, Hannah, Mary, Trevor, I declare in Jesus' name, because you say I can call those things that are not as though they are, that in Christ Jesus, not in their own strength, they're going to be strong today. They're going to be courageous today. They're not going to walk frightened by anything they encounter today. They're not going to be dismayed because of Jesus, not because of circumstances, not because of daddy, but because of you breathing on them. And because you're the Lord their God, and they'll never take a step when you're not with them. That's how I prayed in my office about Tuesday morning, and it tore me up, Noah, because it had been a long time since I'd prayed like that. I got like Matt Young does. If you want to get fired up, get around Matt Young. But I used to do this all the time, all the time. Say, I don't know enough scripture. Well, get you a Bible app and just declare what you get on your phone instead of Facebook 25 hours a day. Use it for 15 minutes for good. Amen? That was Tuesday. I'm just trying to... Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, and who does not harden his heart. I just started declaring these things that just popped up on my Bible app over my family. And again, Todd, did circumstances change? I mean, I don't know. Not to my physical eye, but my perspective began to change. You say, well, imagine that. Well, yeah, we need to be like children again, Gary. Childlike faith. Talking to a daddy that loves us. Do you not think my God that saved me, as dirty as I was, doesn't want my children to walk with security? That's the devil talking, and I've listened to it too long. I've let circumstances keep me from that. Amen? Does that make sense? It's simple, but do we do it anymore? Do we do it anymore? Do we speak truth to the mountain, even when the mountain is insurmountable? It's insurmountable. But what does Zechariah say? It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, mountain? Who are you, depression? Who are you? Who are you, lust, deception after my children? Who do you think you are? My God says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by His spirit that mountain will become as flat as a plain. And I declare that over my kids. That it won't get in their heart, like the doubt and the cynicism, Because of this, not because of me, but the Spirit of God. I used to pray that way, Keith. Circumstances and busyness kept me from it for a long time. And again, I don't know if mountains have moved, but my perspective is shifting. Amen? And guess what? The devil doesn't like it. But then it goes on, and I know I'm starting to ramble. I thought I was fixing the clothes. But here's the thing. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise. Things began to happen. They weren't alive yet. The mountain wouldn't move yet. There wasn't peace to the storm yet, but there was a stirring. And that's what I'm feeling right now, Gary. There was a rattling. And I'm here to say, when you start this process, you've got to celebrate the rattling. When he begins to stir, let it take its course. Don't squelch it. If it begins to stir, thank God for it. Thank God for it. But there was a rattling. And then here's the thing, and I'll close with this. I've never seen this before. It says the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, then the sinew and flesh came upon them. And I felt like the Lord showed me for the first time what was there, what was already there. The bones that were very dry and dead, no hope. After the speaking truth to a circumstance, there was a rattling. There was a stir. A little bit, a ray of hope penetrated your hopelessness. You declared that in your presence there's fullness of joy, and I declare that over my family. And for the first time in 6 months, you actually felt a glimmer of hope. That's a stirring. That's a rattling of bones. But what does it say? The bones began to get line up end to end. So what was already there that in itself wasn't enough moved. There was a change. You're saying, I'm too far. I don't have anything to give to the Lord. I'm in a financial storm, and I don't have. What is there? Because before the skin, the flesh, before God added anything to this, what was already there that was dead and dry lined up. They made a move. Maybe it was just a mindset change. You know, Mark Rutland said it got him kicked out of a lot of churches, but he used to teach, you know, I was teaching old widows that had no money, barely above their government check, and churches were making them leave because they weren't tithing to the 10.0001 decimal place. He said, just be faithful. Let a mind shift start. And let God work with that, because guess what? He's a good God. And churches quit inviting him. They wanted the 10.0%. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't tithe, but be faithful with what you got. Say, it's not enough, Lord. Submit it to God. You say, I don't have 2 hours to spend with the Lord. If you got 20 minutes, give it to God. See what he'll do with it. Be faithful with what's there, even though it's not enough on its own. And just see what God does. Amen. He will add it, because guess what? He promised he would. Amen. I don't feel connected at church anymore. I just, well, maybe first thing you need to do, start going again. Be present. Because guess what? The Lord may, your bone to bone might be in the middle of your storm, God nudging you to go pray with Noah's head. And you can't do that if you're at home on the lawnmower at 10:30 a Sunday morning saying you feel disconnected. It's not deep. But if you quit doing those things, you'll be in trouble. You start doing those things along with praying, along with confessing, along with repenting and quoting God's scripture over problems. Guess what? All of that, you start to get excited again. And it may be so subtle, before you know it, you'll be like me at the first time my right arm ever went up in worship. I didn't even know it. But I got it was at Brownsville, and they showed me a VHS tape, and they scanned the crowd, and I was just like, just odd. Ah, I didn't even realize I had done that. Guess what? It was childlike faith. I was excited. Now, I've never taken off like Clay Cross has, but I've been close. And guess what? Probably, if I'm honest, what kept me from doing it was your opinion. You used to blow the shofar, Keith. And if you were visiting and had no idea, you'd thought either, I don't know what you might think if there's just a shofar going off in the back out of. But if you were worshiping God and you were seeking God and you were believing God and you were praying for somebody over here, even though you were in a mess, and you hear that shofar, my God, it gets you fired up. And I'm sorry I'm getting off whack here, but I want to be excited. Noah, you played ball with me from the fifth grade on. The Lord wired me to be borderline dangerous in everything, and I put that on the shelf too long. Too long. And I'm not talking about Brett House. I'm talking about the Spirit of God in you. In you. He wants out of the box. And He loves us. He's not mad. And I'm sorry I rambled. There was more that I saw in here. But if you would stand to your feet. I know they've got food fixed for us. I've gone way over. But be faithful with what you got. I heard Mark Rutland say this 20 years ago. If you read the scriptures about Moses, what does he have in his hand when he meets the Spirit of God in the burning bush? It's a staff. You know, he has to take his feet out, shoes off because he's on holy ground. You go forward. He has so many mighty encounters with God. So many. What, however many years forward, is in Moses' right hand when he extends it over the Red Sea and it parts for the children of Israel to finally leave Egypt. Same staff. Mark Rutland's point was his encounters and his obedience and God using him, he never traded up. In the modern theology, you'd want a scepter because I've been serving God for a long time. But he stayed humble. And the point is, it doesn't matter what's in your hand. If God says extend it, extend it. If God says your dry bone that's dead, hopeless, do this with it. Just do it. Do it. And if he doesn't move, you can take it up with him. But guess what? His character says I was going to say he's dying to move. He died to move. He's wanting to. Amen. Well, I just pray that you've been challenged. And if there's anybody going through a storm, anybody that knows somebody else going through a storm, let's ask the Lord to show us what's in our hand. I know it's not enough. The math doesn't work, Noah. In my life, it doesn't work. But submitting what I do have to the Lord, that'll work. When, I don't know. How, I don't know. But it'll work. I believe that. But I don't want to believe it between my ears. I want to believe it with my walk. Amen? Father, we love you. And I just pray that somehow, some way through this today, that you challenge somebody in their heart. Lord, just let us, show us what we have around us. Show us the blessings right here. Yes, we've squandered a lot of them. Yes, we've ignored a lot of them. Yes, we've taken a lot of them for granted. Yes, we've been jealous for other people's blessings. Let's just be real. But Father, help us just let go and allow you to move. Allow your breath to blow upon dead, dry things. Not so that we can arrive, but so that, like the scripture says, we can know that Trevor House can by faith know. Yes, I know we have to have faith, but that he can know that you are the Lord because he's seen you move. He's encountered you in reality. I believe that's your heart for us as individuals, as families, as a church, as a community. So Lord, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us align with it, agree with it, touch it, whatever words. And I just want to thank you today for what you're going to do as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I know there's no proper altar call. If anybody needs to pray, the altar is open. I'll pray with you. But be thankful. Y'all go bless the kids that are going to Honduras. Again, we've got spaghetti. Yes. We can bless the food. Father, we thank you for this food. We thank you for those that work so hard preparing it, Lord God. We pray that you take the money that's taken up today and multiply it so that it could be used to just further your kingdom, that there would be no stress or anything of that nature on the finance side of this trip. But we pray for those that are going to Honduras. Lord, we just pray that you move on their hearts, and we just thank you for this ministry. Continue to draw people to Jesus through it, and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.